Welcome to Home and Family Finance with Paul Berry. It's your family, it's your finances, and it's your future. Home and Family Finance is brought to you by the Defense Credit Union Council, serving those who serve our country, and the Credit Union National Association. Now, here's the host of Home and Family Finance, Paul Berry.
And we begin by wishing you everywhere, wherever you may be, a very happy holiday season. We hope it's shaping up to be the best that you've ever had. Certainly for us on this end, we are delighted. And as you know, if you're a longtime listener of Home and Family Finance, you know how special this is for me this time of the year, the holiday season, the Christmas season, the Hanukkah season. I had a Hanukkah dinner last night, a very special dinner by our neighbors who invited us over. But I love that. You know, we can celebrate the holiday season any way we care to, with whomever we want, as long as we're in the spirit of understanding that it is a time to celebrate. And it's also time to say thank you. And that's I love this part because, as most of you know, we celebrate and share the joy of broadcasting to our military servicemen and women all over the world, 177 military installations on sea, on land, wherever they may be in this world, they can hear the sound of my voice. And to all of you, wherever you are, thank you for your service and appreciate that you tune us in on a weekly basis. And for those who are here, family members who also tune us in, we want to wish you the best of a holiday season, no matter how you celebrate. And let you know that we appreciate the sacrifice that you may make right here at home. Or you may be with your husband or your wife or whomever, wherever in the world, and you do make those sacrifices. And sometimes we forget that. We forget that you're serving as much as the service member is serving. You're making the same sacrifices that they are making. And nowhere, in no time, is it more obvious and evident than during holidays, especially this particular holiday season. As a former military man, former military member of the Air Force stationed in Vietnam and other places around the world, I remember those times when I couldn't be home, when I couldn't be with mom and dad or with friends and neighbors or with relatives on a holiday, and how lonely it sometimes is. Well, we're with you, and we care about you, and we want you to know that. And our show is going to be kind of pointed in your direction. You don't have to be in the military to enjoy the show, but I want you to know that we're making special exception for our military members. To that end, I've invited a couple of folks to join us today. The first is Jane Whitfield. She is the president and CEO of the PenFed Foundation, and she's going to talk to us about a number of things as it relates to military families. They are more vulnerable to financial problems, and she'll explain why. And there are other specific challenges that they face, and she'll talk a little bit about that. And then we're going to go over to the folks at the wonderful financial institution that comes to us on a regular basis, and you know them, and you know of them as Kiplinger. We've got Carolyn Bigda, who's a contributing writer for editor for Kiplinger. And she's going to talk about stocks and about some ideas that may have you didn't think about. Is that now's the time to look at how companies and entities are doing this in this season in the next few days, and then maybe investing by buying into their companies, buying stock, either independent on your own or through a broker. If they're doing well in December of 2014, hey, they might be doing great in all of 2015. And why not invest in that? If you use that as kind of your lever to get into the market or to increase your portfolio. Anyway, all of that for you here, and we're going to begin with Jane. Jane, you're out in California today, right?
I sure am. Hi, Paul. Hi to everybody. Happy holidays.
Thank you.
I'm here in Palo Alto, California, at the Palo Alto VA, where we have our Defenders Lodge project. Speaking of the holidays, last night we had a terrific cookies and coffee holiday event for all the veterans and caregivers at the Palo Alto VA.
Wow.
Who stay at the Defenders Lodge. It was a really joyous and and happy occasion. I was delighted to be there.
Oh, that's wonderful. So you are actually on a mission for the veterans to a degree, right?
Oh, I sure am. Well, you know, every day is a mission for the veterans and members of the military community for me, now that I'm the CEO of the PenFed Foundation. But being out here and being able to spend time, you know, one-on-one with the veterans and their spouses and caregivers, it's really a special time. I don't always get to do that. You know, as CEO, I spend far too much of my time in an office and not nearly enough time out in the community like I got to do last night.
Well, that's good for you, and I'm glad that you did, because I know that you work very hard on behalf of veterans. And for those who don't know about the PenFed Foundation, explain what it is and what it does.
Sure, thanks. The PenFed Foundation is a foundation committed to a strong and secure financial future for those who serve our country. We were founded by the Pentagon Federal Credit Union, and we have a number of programs, including short-term payday-style loans that are intended to fight the predatory lending, no interest, $5 fee, so folks who are experiencing a financial emergency can get the help they need. We provide emergency financial assistance if there's an unexpected financial emergency and a need for a small amount of money to pay a bill or take a trip for a loved one comes up. We also offer assistance for buying first homes and for rehabilitating homes that need a little repair or upkeep. In addition to that, we have this Defenders Lodge project out here, which is pretty amazing, where we provide free places to stay for veterans and their caregivers while they're getting care at the Palo Alto VA. So we have some great programs, all of them around financial assistance and trying to keep our folks, you know, fluid and successful in their financial lives.
I love it. I love hearing what you do and how you do it, and we're going to talk more about that. But I want to just remind folks that at this time of the year, during the holiday season, Jane, it is special because you do realize the sacrifice that they have made and are making to keep us all safe.
Gosh, we sure do. And I can tell you that as I do get around and talk to folks and see both the wonderful happy times that they're having and also some of the financial struggles and missing their loved ones overseas, that really brings home for me both you know, our own family experience and then memories I have. I think last time we were together, I shared with you, I had my own financial, we had our own financial struggle.
Yeah, and I want to get into that because you did talk about it. I want you to repeat that. I think our audience needs to hear it. This is Home and Family Finance on a wonderful holiday season and a period when we hope that you reflect on how good it has been for you and think about others. We'll be right back with more. Stay with us.
We want you to be a part of the show. Email us with your financial questions. Ask about the Defense Credit Union Council. Or maybe just let us know what's on your mind. We'll give you the address in a few minutes. But now, more of Home and Family Finance with Paul Berry.
We're glad to be with you, and we thank you for deciding to choose us. Jane Whitfield, who is president and CEO of the PenFed Foundation, is my guest. And normally, usually, sometimes, we ask our guests to tell us when they've become financially fit. But in this case, I'm going to ask Jane to tell us when this meant even more to her because of her personal involvement. If you don't mind sharing that, when you were with us back in June, you shared the story. So may I ask you to share that with us again, Jane?
Sure. You know, from a personal commitment to the veterans and the troops, I think we talked a little bit about last time, and it's well known, I think, that I'm a Gold Star parent, and our son was killed in Afghanistan 4 years ago on December 2nd. So from a personal standpoint, the work that we do at the PenFed Foundation to help families who are returning, families who are coming back in civilian life, really have the best possible experience of the American dream is very important to me. And in fact, to my husband and my family, this is work that we all do together and take very seriously. And I often think about if our son had lived and not been killed in the war, what would I have wanted for him and his wife and his young son as a family coming back? And what I would want is for our community and everyone around us to rally together and provide the types of services and support that would help them really experience a strong and secure financial future.
You know, you represent so many others, too many others, who have lost a loved one. And what is remarkable to me is that you're not bitter, or at least you've found a way to suppress or to deal with the bitterness of having lost a loved one on behalf of the protection of your country.
Well, I mean, everybody has their moments. So, Paul, I can't say that we never have those days where we wish things were different. But I feel so strongly about the work that our veterans and military families and communities are doing on behalf of the American people. We have the best country in the world. And although, you know, we have our problems, we choose to live here and want to live here for a reason, and that democracy is something really critical. So I keep that in mind always, and my work at the PenFed Foundation and with other organizations and charities that serve the military community really is an opportunity to really give back and to experience the military lifestyle and community in a way that I don't think I would have, frankly, had we not experienced such a tragedy.
Is it more difficult at holiday season around this time of the year?
Yeah, it sure is, especially given that Matthew was killed on December 2nd, which was just after Thanksgiving, which kind of sets a different kind of tone for Thanksgiving and Christmas for us. But as you said, we aren't the only ones. And, you know, whether or not you have a loved one who was killed in the war or who was injured or who came back, maybe not the same person as who left, or is doing just fine but is, you know, thousands of miles away, the holidays are a time that are impacted by the service members' lives. They impact the service members' lives and their families. And I always keep that in mind, not just for our families, but for the families that we help and we work with.
Thank you, Jane. We'll be right back. Listening to Home and Family Finance on Radio America. I'm your host, Paul Berry, and we thank you for joining us. Our program sponsor is the Defense Credit Union Council, and we thank them for their continued support, as well as CUNA, the Credit Union National Association. They sponsor this program dedicated to making all of us smarter consumers. And if there's a topic or subject that you want to discuss, please write to me right here, Paul Berry at Radio America, 1100 North Glebe Road, Suite 900, Arlington, Virginia, 22201, or you may contact me on my website at www.hffradio.com. And speaking of the Defense Credit Union Council and its member credit unions, they believe that financial readiness equals mission readiness and supports the efforts of military saves in their dedication to improving the financial well-being of our troops. Military Saves is a year-round campaign that seeks to motivate, support, and encourage military families to save money, reduce debt, and build wealth. As part of the Department of Defense's financial readiness campaign, Military Saves acts as a resource center for information on financial education and counseling. Check out its links to useful websites for military families where they can learn better money management and can find partners who can help military members achieve their financial goals. Military Saves. Set a goal, make a plan, save automatically. Go to militarysaves.org for more information. And you take the Saver's Pledge. That's the Saver's Pledge today. We hope that you do. You know, I'd love to do this show and remind you that when we're talking to our military audience out there, we're talking about your husband, your wife, your girlfriend, your boyfriend, your sister, your brother, your aunt, your uncle, your grandparent. We're talking about someone in your family, someone who serves. So this is not, oh, they're talking about the military. We are the military. The people that serve are us, and we have to be cognizant of that. And no one is more cognizant of that than my guest, Jane E. Whitfield, who was president and CEO of the PenFed Foundation. You know, I always ask the guests, and I said it earlier, about being financially fit. Are you financially fit, Jane?
Well, we are fortunate now that, of course, we are financially fit. Both my husband and I are employed, and we have our own cars, and we own our own home. And I have this great job that we've been talking about here, this interview.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't always the case. When our three kids were quite young, my husband was diagnosed with cancer, and we had about a three-day window to completely change our lives, where he was out of work for 2 years.
Oh.
And we faced a lot of the struggles that our folks that are listening face. We went from one income level to another and had to make some hard choices. And in fact, I remember a Christmas vividly that some listeners might relate to, which is we really just did not have very much money to buy gifts for our kids. So we went to the dollar store and got 10 very inexpensive gifts for each child, literally spending maybe $15 on each child, and wrapped them up. And I still remember, and we often talk about as a family, that from their perspective, they didn't know the difference. They thought it was fantastic that they got 10 gifts.
Yes.
It was a real memory that it's not really about how much spend, but about what you do.
That's right. 10 things to unwrap and look for, you know. It's
exactly.
So true about, and especially for children. They don't, you know, we sometimes put our desires and needs in the children don't need that. My grandmother, when I was growing up, I got the back of a Kellogg's box where they had cutouts on the back of a Kellogg's box, and she cut those things out, and it was a little boat or whatever, and a couple of them, as you say, I you know what, and she wrapped them up. I unwrapped it, and there was this boat from the back of a, and I thought it was one of the greatest gifts I ever got. So. You know, it's about the giving, and it's about the thought, and it's not about what you hand over all the time. And so,
I think that's right. And I think sometimes it's hard to think creatively or think about how they can be happy and successful. But what I do want to share with all the listeners out there is there are opportunities for everyone to get the type of help and financial education and skills that they need in order to make their lives as happy and fruitful as possible and to take advantage of the American dream. And at the PenFed Foundation, we offer financial literacy and education materials and counseling. We offer emergency financial assistance and short-term emergency loans. And I want to encourage everyone out there to take advantage of those products and resources when they can, and not to wait until there's a financial emergency. Get the skills and education in advance so you're prepared for next time that something crops up that you're not really ready for.
Janie Whitfield, you're president and CEO, and you're a tough businesswoman, but I also must tell you, you are a love. Thanks for joining us here on Home and Family Finance. Come back and see us again soon, will you please?
Thanks so much, Paul. I'd be delighted, and happy holidays.
And to you, ma'am, and to you. This is Home and Family Finance. We'll be right back with more. Stay with us.
But have a cup of cheer. Have a holly jolly Christmas. And when you walk down the street.
Helping you be safe, smart, and secure with your finances. Welcome back to Home and Family Finance with your host, Paul Berry.
And we're back, and we hope that you are in that mood, the holiday mood, however you celebrate at this time of the year. And I also want to say another special thanks to Jane Whitfield, president of PenFed, because their efforts on behalf of vets is respectable in every possible way. And if I didn't say it before, I'll say it again. I want to thanks for the service. To all of our veterans out there, thank you so much for your service, and happy holidays to you. Now, speaking of service, I've got Carolyn Bigda. She's a contributing editor at Kiplinger Personal Finance, where she writes about stocks, mutual funds, and other investing topics. She also writes the weekly Getting Started column for the Chicago Tribune, covering personal finance stories for 20-somethings. And prior to joining Kiplinger in 2013, Bigda wrote for worked for the magazine Money for 9 years. She has a master's degree in journalism from New York University and bachelor's degree in political science from Northwestern University. She knows what she's talking about, folks. She's a native of Massachusetts. Go Pats! Carolyn, welcome to the show. Nice to have you on the show.
I'm glad to be here.
Your Pats are doing okay, aren't they?
They're doing great.
Indeed they are. It looks good. And I'm looking forward to the end of the season here to see how things turn out. Here we are just a few days before Christmas. And I was caught and struck by the article regarding really taking advantage of what's called holiday cheer, cash in on holiday cheer. I thought it was very, you know, and something that I thought about before, Carolyn, how to, you know, all of the things that we hear about people buying and all this, and we're talking about you investing through stocks, et cetera, in terms of what looks good at the end of the year and on into 2015. That's a smart thing to do, isn't it?
Of course. I mean, it's always a good idea to look at areas of the market that are, you know, doing well, but also have sort of potential to do well going forward. Especially for, you know, most investors should sort of take a longer term perspective. And so, you know, when you're looking at trends that are doing well now, you know, you hope to capitalize on those going forward too in the coming year.
Well, as you pointed out, Black Friday was not the best of times, not the worst either, but that's gone on. Here we are before Christmas, and Americans, many of them are shopping until they drop. But you've identified some stocks to cash in on the holiday season. How did you arrive at the stocks that might be worth taking a look at and even investing in?
Well, I mean, we spoke with analysts and looked at different reports and sort of thought about trends that would hold up well even if shoppers were still being a little thrifty. You know, the National Retail Federation still predicts that, you know, shopping this season will increase by about 4%. You know, more than last year's increase in holiday sales. So, you know, shoppers are going out there. It just might not be as robust as everybody hoped, or mm-hmm. it might not be spread evenly across all kinds of retailers. But, you know, there are some trends that are just so strong that, you know, regardless, they might benefit these companies that we identified in the story.
All right. Give me some examples of what you're talking about here.
Well, one is technology. You know, electronics, still very popular among consumers, and one of the big stories at the end of the year here has been Apple and the iPhone 6 that's come out. When they introduced the iPhone 6 in September, the opening weekend sales were the strongest that they've ever been for the iPhone. So, it, you know, that was very promising, and they expect to see that continue on into 2015. You know, they've got Apple Pay now, and they're coming out with a new Apple Watch early next year. So, the company, which a lot of people were worried, you know, after Steve Jobs passed away, wouldn't be able to innovate and attract, you know, mm-hmm. consumers, it's proving everybody wrong and doing what, you know, Apple has always done, which is sort of create new and exciting products.
Well, and I'm assuming, and maybe this is a wrong assumption, and tell me, that we're really talking to the investor who kind of does its online investing that might be doing their own thing as opposed to going through, you know, an investing house. Am I right? Or is that what we're looking at?
Well, we're talking about specific companies. You know, if you own a broadly diversified mutual fund, they very likely own Apple. Or you can look in to see what the fund actually holds. So, you know, Apple's a very large company, so a lot of funds do have a stake in that. So, you know, you can get exposure either by owning the individual stock if you want, it's a small portion of your portfolio, or if you, you know, have it in a broader mutual fund.
Okay, so but if I believe that Apple is pretty strong, if I'm doing it myself, I can invest, or I can call my broker and say, hey, put some dollars into Apple. That's basically what I would do, right?
Yeah, exactly. It depends on, right, so you could do it on, you know, if you have an online account, or you can trade yourself, or if you do rely on a broker, you know, one or the other, it would be the way to do it.
But Carolyn, from your point of view, look, interest rates supposedly may go up, but may not, and oil is definitely dropped down below $60. Should I be concerned about those things in terms of deciding to invest at this point for 2015?
Well, both things are sort of shaking up the market right now. It's creating some uncertainty, and that's definitely, you know, we're seeing that and reflected in the stock market and some of the losses, you know, recently. And I mean, in terms of interest rates, it's always a guessing game. People have been saying for years now that the Fed would start to increase short-term interest rates. It hasn't happened yet. Next year now, it looks like there's a good possibility of it, but that interest rates could go up very slowly, and it would be a very gradual rise. And in that scenario, you know, the market might be a little bit volatile as a result, but we aren't expecting a huge shakeup because it's anticipated. A lot of people are expecting it. With oil, we call it a double-edged sword. You know, it benefits some sectors of the economy. It hurts others. Obviously, the energy sector is the area where, you know, you will see the most pain with oil dropping to such low levels. I mean, who would have thought that it would be falling to $55 and less?
It's amazing.
Barrel,
it's just amazing that we're at 55 bucks. And we've learned the lesson very well that, in fact, there, as you say, a two-edged sword, you know? While it's good on one hand, it ain't so good on the other, maybe. We're talking with Carolyn Bigdon. When we come back, we're going to talk to her about some other areas that she sees as possibilities, growth possibilities when it comes to stock. You don't have to be a genius to do this. You just have to use good sense. And that's what Carolyn is here to tell you about. We'll be right back.
We want you to be a part of the show. Email us with your financial questions. Ask about the Defense Credit Union Council. Or maybe just let us know what's on your mind. We'll give you the address in a few minutes. But now, more of Home and Family Finance with Paul Berry.
And happy holidays to you as we bring you Carolyn Bigda, contributing editor at Kiplinger's Personal Finance, where she writes about stocks, mutual funds, and other investing topics. And that's exactly what we're talking about. We kind of covered the fact that oil has gone crazy down to less than $55 a barrel. But it, while it helps and really does help us at the pump, it hurts in the market. That's a very interesting. Why has it hurt us in the market while it helps us at the pump, Carolyn? What's up with that?
It hurts us in the market in some, or it hurts us in some areas of the market, we should say. So energy companies are the obvious place where there's, you know, we're seeing the biggest losses, because when oil prices fall that low, it's hard for them to make a profit, especially when you consider how much money they have to spend just to get the oil out of the ground these days.
Mm-hmm.
But there are other areas of the market that do great when oil is falling. For example, we identified, you know, one company called PPG Industries. They make paint and automotive finishes and industrial coatings, and all of that requires oil-based material. So when their supply costs go down, that just adds to their bottom line, because they're not going to be passing on immediate price breaks to consumers. So a stock like that is going to benefit when oil prices are falling, as compared to, like, you know, an actual energy company that's producing oil, you know, and suffering from these lower prices.
Okay, and you mentioned something, and I know my audience is thinking about it, and that is we're watching oil fall, just going crazy low. And yet airplane ticket prices haven't changed. The airlines claim that their biggest expense is cost of fuel. Heck, they got to be making, I mean, this has got to really be benefiting them. How will that affect us, both in terms of ticket sales and whether we should be investing in the airline industry?
Yeah, wouldn't we all like to see our airline ticket prices go down just in tandem with oil costs?
Hallelujah. But, yeah, that would be great.
Wouldn't that be nice? But unfortunately, that's probably not going to happen, at least not in the short term. You know, airlines are, you know, they're very focused on the bottom line these days. And I think they will take whatever sort of cost break they can get. And there's still a lot of demand for air travel and not a ton of supply. So they don't have a huge incentive to lower their prices at this point. Maybe down the road we could see you know, a little bit of a break. But in the immediate term, I wouldn't expect to save a ton of money on your travel costs.
Okay. All right. I get that. So, but I also get the fact that every day they fly at an oil price at 55 bucks as opposed to 110 bucks, somebody's got to be making some money at the airline. So is it a good place to invest?
Well, airline stocks have been doing very well, especially in 2014, and the outlook for 2015 is the same. And that was even before oil started falling, and that's because again, the airlines have been very cost conscious. They've been trimming costs through, you know, mergers and acquisitions, and just through just cutting on their spending. And the supplies have also been very tight. They're flying at full capacity. You and I probably are both well aware that the seats are full whenever we're flying.
Absolutely.
So they've been doing well regardless, and now the drop in oil could just be sort of the icing on the cake.
Okay, so you wouldn't overlook airlines as a place to invest.
No, I certainly would not. Yes.
Okay,
That's a good potential.
Good potential place. Okay, another good potential place, and we've seen the ads running on the air now with for women who are wearing sportswear, and you point out that women used to buy separate items for work, the weekend, the gym, and parties, but now they buy for a party, and the other three functions can be combined. So you like athletic wear retailers as maybe a place to put some dollars.
Yeah, if you think about it, over the last few years, athletic wear has really, it's been a trend that's really taken off. I mean, just think about how much athletic wear you just sort of wear on a daily basis. You know, yoga pants, you wear them to the supermarket today where you would have never done that maybe years ago. A zip-up jacket that you were running, maybe that's also seconds as sort of a spring jacket. For
Carolyn, they wear them on the airplane. I mean, I see more people in sportswear flying these days than I do. And it used to be, you know, you dress up to fly. And now you dress down to fly.
Yeah, you don't see a lot of suits flying.
No.
You see a lot of, right, like the stretch pants and the athletic wear on planes. And so that's benefiting companies like an Under Armour, VF Corporation, which owns brands like the North Face and other things. Also benefits, you know, footwear manufacturers such as Nike and Foot Locker. So that's definitely a big trend in retail right now. As one person pointed out to me, you know, especially this holiday season, there hasn't been a lot of must-have fashion items. You know, everybody's got their puffer jacket now, but the one thing that has stood out is athletic wear. And so those might be stocks to take a look at.
Well, and, you know, the point is, you're right. I watched the other morning, I was watching the show Kelly and Michael, I think, in the morning. And every one of the guests that came out had on sportswear. I mean, tennis shoes. I call them tennis shoes. I don't know what they call them these days, but we used to call them tennis shoes. You know what I mean?
Right, exactly.
Yeah, and jeans or sweatpants. I mean, they're all wearing this stuff, and so rightfully, if they're wearing it, somebody's selling it. From an investment point of view, it's a good place to look, right?
Yes, yes, and a lot of these, you know, and sales at these companies are growing, and that's what you want to see. You want to see that, you know, sales are increasing over time, and that's exactly what's happening in the athletic wear area. You know, in other areas of retail, there haven't been quite as big of numbers being posted by companies, but this is one pocket where it's very positive.
Okay, my guest on this wonderful day is Carolyn Bigda, contributing editor at Kiplinger's Personal Finance. We're giving you some gifts, some really good gifts, so we hope you're listening. We'll be right back with more with Carolyn. Stay with us.
The tree for me. Been an awful good girl, Santa baby. So hurry down the chimney tonight.
Listening to Home and Family Finance this holiday, and we hope you're enjoying the program as we spend some time with Carolyn Bigda, contributing editor at Kiplinger's Personal Finance. And she's giving us her version of a kind of a holiday gift, a holiday cheer, telling you that it might be a good time to take a look at stocks and pick the ones that seem like they've done well at the end of the year and would probably do well right through the holiday season. And one of them she's going to tell you about now or talk about is what we use to buy all of these goods. We use credit cards. And credit cards are business, folks. Somebody's making money. Why not you, right, Carolyn?
Exactly. Yeah, might as well profit from the cards or the spending that you do.
Great idea. That is so direct. We're talking now, I guess, when people spend this holiday season, they use either their debt or credit cards. We should look at, what, American Express, MasterCard. Are these good companies to take a look at?
Yeah, well, American Express, MasterCard, Visa, these are the companies that, you know, process the transactions when you use a credit card. And so they sort of basically collect a toll every time you swipe your credit card. And so during the holiday season, a lot of people pull out their plastic to make their purchases. And so that definitely benefits the bottom line of those companies. And, you know, with consumers feeling slightly more confident, they are spending a little bit more on their credit cards these days. So that also is just another sort of, you know, positive for those companies.
Yeah, that's very interesting because I, you know, quite frankly, until I read your article, I didn't think about credit cards as some company that I would want to invest in. And I don't know why I didn't think of it that way. I, you know, I guess because they take my money, or at least I use it to spend my money, it never occurred to me that I could use it to make some money. But you're saying, why not?
Oh, definitely. And they are very profitable companies. And, you know, they have wide networks. And one that we highlighted in particular was American Express. It, you know, it obviously it's a well-known credit card company, but its reach has always been a little bit more limited than Visa and MasterCard. American Express is really trying to change that. This year, for example, it launched what it calls OptBlue, which is allowing third-party processors to sort of manage card transactions for, you know, mom-and-pop shops. So it's making it easier for smaller retailers to use or accept American Express. And so that could help, you know, expand profits for American Express even more, just beyond the general trend of spending and, you know, holiday shopping and that kind of thing.
Sure. So, you know, that's a valid point for shoppers, for investors to consider. From your vantage point, looking ahead into 2015, what trends, if there's such a thing as that, should I be looking for as an investor, either a personal investor or through a broker? And any thoughts? I know I'm not asking you to make predictions because that's not what you do, but you probably have looked ahead and said, hey, you know, I think in 2015 I'm going to do this or I'm going to do that. Anything that you could share there?
Well, it looks like that there are sort of a few big themes that are shaping up for 2015. We talked about one already, which was which was lower oil prices,
right,
and how
right.
that will, you know, both hurt and help certain stocks. Another one is the strong dollar. The U.S. dollar has been appreciating, and so that could, you know, benefit certain companies more than others. For example, companies that do a lot of sales in the U.S. Could benefit from a stronger dollar.
Companies like whom? Like what? Which?
Well, for example, you know, one is Macy's.
Okay, I see.
Yeah, I mean, they are, you know, sort of cater to the middle-income consumer. And so, you know, a rising dollar helps that consumer, you know, feel a little bit more empowered to shop. So that helps their bottom line as well. Mm-hmm. But Macy's is a retailer that imports a lot of goods that are made from overseas, but sells most of its goods here in the U.S. So they're benefiting from, you know, taking that stronger dollar, buying the goods overseas, and then turning around and selling it to U.S. consumers here. So that's one example of a company that could profit from, you know, a more robust greenback.
So in closing, the idea here is to don't limit just to items. Think about stocks as being something that you want to put under your Christmas tree, and shop throughout the year. I just can't thank you enough for being with us, Carolyn. We wish you the best of holiday seasons, and come back and see us again soon, and have a very prosperous 2015, won't you?
Thank you, and same to you.
Okay. This is Paul Berry on this wonderful day. We hope you're enjoying it and that your holiday season will be wonderful. Al, happy holidays to you, my friend, and to all of you out there. Come back and see us next week. We'll be right here. I'm Paul Berry on Home and Family Finance.